Access number 28672, Mr. Tony Bradbury, Reel 3. Now, you were just saying when we cut off that you went on divisions at half eight. Now, what were divisions? This is division parade.
Well, this was long-standing naval practices, I found out later, that continued for long after the war, actually. Everybody on the camp, except those doing essential duties, had to assemble on the parade ground, rain or shine, and have a short service, and then disperse to your various activities for the day. That was divisions, roughly. It used to last about a quarter of an hour. And during that time, they'd sometimes read out an article of war to you, you know, a thing that has fallen to disuse now, I believe. And this article of war would start off like, if you do such and such, if you strike a superior officer, you will suffer death or such other punishment as shall be hereinafter mentioned. And we'd get things like that.
How did that impact on you?
Not much.
Now, after division, what then?
Well, we dispersed to our classes. Sometimes we'd have to go for general drill on the parade ground.
Well, let's do drill. How did you? It's the first time you'd ever done drill.
Yes.
Did you take to drill?
Quite good. I was no good at dancing, but quite good at marching.
And did you understand the point of it at that then? Did you understand why you had to do it?
No, but it gradually dawned on me that we had to learn to act as a disciplined team together. We couldn't act as individuals. And if we got in a situation in wartime where other people depended on us, we had to do our very best to make sure that we were working as part of a team. It took time, but after 4 or 5 weeks, I began to see the point of it.
Now, what classes were there? We'd go
and have respirator drill.
That's gas mask drill.
Yes, gas mask. Well, we had a very good chief there in charge of gas mask drill. He'd instruct us on how to put on our gas masks and quickly, if we needed to do so. And to make sure we'd done it right, we'd have another class the following week, that sort of thing. And we're almost completely green, really. I mean, there were people from all over the country, really, joining this class I was in. And I was some way the youngest.
Did they actually put you through a gas mask test, you know, where they put you through a chamber?
Oh, yeah. No, they didn't put us through a chamber, but we used to have competitions on who could put on their gas mask quickest. And the one who took longest would have to run around the parade ground a couple of times, that sort of thing.
That's gas mask. What else? What are lessons or?
Naval history.
Now, how detailed? Which part of naval history?
Well, we used to get talks on, about the war.
Which war?
Well,
the current.
Go right the way back to 1759, really. We had a chat on, some officer gave us a talk on Wolfe's conquest of Quebec in 1759. We had talks on what the Navy had done in the First World War. Our instructor never said a word about his experiences in the First World War, until the day that Admiral Sir Dudley Pound died suddenly on Trafalgar Day 43, and he then got rather emotional. And he was upset. It's the only time that I saw him upset.
I'll come back to the
incident. Yeah.
Now, what other things you're doing? Didn't have much so far. A bit of gas mask training, a bit of naval history. What else? Where's the meat?
Charging around with bayonets.
Tell us about that. Yes. Well, did you do rifle training generally?
Yeah, rifle training. We used to go on shoots, that sort of thing.
Tell me about the rifle. How much time did you spend on what level of rifle training?
We used to get through threes, go to a nearby range, and get issued with 5 rounds of ammunition, and the target will be about 200 to 300 yards away, and we just have to see how many shots we could get on the target. And we also did Lewis gun training.
Hang on. With the rifle, were they actually teaching you how to do it? I mean, there's a proper, in the army, proper way to lie down, proper way to stand,
oh, yeah,
way to hold it. Did they go through it all with you?
We went all the way through it, but majority of it was in the prone position. We used to get down behind a couple of sandbags and shoot at these targets.
Now, what about bayonet training? How much of that did you do?
Well, not a great deal, because I don't think deep down the instructors had a great deal of faith in bayonets. But we used to get, they used to line us all up. There'd be a load of sacks hanging up on strings at a distance, and say, come on, charge those bloody Germans or Japs or whatever they were. And we used to have to leap forward with blood-curdling yells. You pass spirit sessions by something else, I suppose. And then stick these bayonets into the sacks. And that was about our bayonet training, really.
And what about the Lewis gun? What sort of training did you get on that?
Well, again, the same thing. This was more after we'd gone for a week's training at a place called Sealand, RAF Sealand. There was a disused RAF station. About midway through the course, we all had to pack up and leave Gosling 5.
No, hang on. Yeah, you're running ahead there. Yeah. Forget the Lewis gun then.
Okay.
So, you didn't do the Lewis gun at this stage?
Not at that stage, no.
So what else did you do? Rifle, bayonet, anything else?
Physical, work at the gym.
No other weapons then?
No other weapons.
You didn't do the Sten or anything like that?
Any?
The Sten or anything like that?
No, nothing like that,
so
no.
Just rifle and bayonet?
No, rifle and bayonet, that sort of thing.
And, right, tell us about the PT program, all its formats.
Well, the main thing was we used to get, obviously, a PT instructor, petty officer, who'd say, right, you and you, put the gloves on and fight each other for 3 minutes. And all the rest would sit round and cheer on their favourite for about 3 minutes until it was your turn. And you could gauge your popularity by the number of cheers you got. And we used to do boxing, so-called boxing, I suppose, every so often.
Now what else would you do? PT?
Well, at parallel bars, up the ropes, all the rest of it. You know, the usual gymnastic stuff for about an hour. And then we'd go off and perhaps do a course on, or part of a course on naval history. Then we'd go off and do gas mask drill.
Well, what about, was it just PT? There was no route marching or cross?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was route marching, yes, yes. And yes, of course, route marching. We used to do this two or three times a week.
What was the route march like?
Well, our instructor was a bit leery about us going on route marches in a way, because some of the people would start producing dirty songs, you see, as they marched along. You know, there was, you know, I gave Riches one and all this sort of thing, you know, that sort of style of song. He didn't think that was very good.
Would everyone join in, or was it just a few characters singing?
Well, a few characters would start off, and then after that, the rest would join in, well, if they'd learnt the words.
And how far would they go on a route march?
Oh, 4 or 5 miles. We'd march out of the camp and go round Earlham near the Manchester Ship Canal and march back again.
What about cross-country running or?
Oh, yes, yes, we'd done that as well, yes.
How tough was that?
Oh, well, we used to do 3 miles, actually. They used to say, right, you're all on cross-country running today, and we'd get issued with plimsolls, which we had to return at the end of the cross-country running. And then see who'd get back first, that sort of thing. And when we got back last, we'd get a rough end of the reception, really.
And how did you do on that?
Not bad. I was quite good at running.
And assault course?
Not there, no. We never did an assault course there, I don't think.
Did you? Now, you're naval. Did you do any seamanship at all?
Yeah. Oh, yes, again. We used to do We used to learn knots, which were quite useless, really, because apart from the clove hitch, I don't think I've ever used one since, really.
Did you do splicing as well, or was it just?
Oh yes, we did all that. Yes, we had our instructor would tell us all about the rope work that they used to do in the First World War and afterwards, of course. And naturally, there was more seamanship then, real seamanship in the First World War Navy and afterwards than there was in the Second World War Navy.
Now, what other seamanship training did you get? So there's knots and splices, what else?
Well,
at this stage, at Gosling?
Mainly, how to get your rum ration. And if you were under 21, you didn't get it at all. How to get your issue of tobacco, and how to, if you've got plug tobacco, how to make it up so that you can smoke it in a pipe or chew it, and all those sort of old naval practices that were, I think, even then largely going out of fashion.
What about, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't do things like boxing the compass or just working through the seamanship.
Well, yes. Well, we did elementary stuff, really. But really, I think they, looking back, the intention was that we were then going to go out eventually and service aircraft.
So there's no need for much of the real no cutter training.
I think, generally speaking, the authorities at the camp realised that we wouldn't be doing too much of the seamanship stuff.
Clear enough. Anything else you were doing in training sessions?
Well, we did. The way we got to go back a bit, one of the things we were told early on is that there's a class of 30 here. Two of you will be selected for further training as air fitters. The rest will go as air mechanics. The ones that are completely dud will go off to HMS Iron Duke at Scapa Flow to be trained as stokers. If you're no good as an air mechanic, you're only fit to be a stoker, and that's where we'll send you.
Now, did they actually do any training of you as air mechanics at this stage?
No, we did no actual technical work at all, really. All we did was, towards the end of the course, when they were working out who's going to be the two air fitters, they said, we're going to give you a 60-question mental arithmetic test, which will last a quarter of an hour. And if you get 60, you might be an air fitter. If you get 59 correct, you'll be an air mechanic. And that was it, really. That was the greatest part of technical training that...
How did you do?
Got 60.
Now, any other aspects of your training there during a typical day?
No, that was about it, really.
How did you get on with the other lads on your course?
Pretty well.
Talk a bit about them. Where have they come from? What sort of lads were?
Well, there was one lad from Worcestershire. Another lad from what they did, first of all, when we got into the camp, they just looked down the list, and they had the list of our class in alphabetical order, and Arnold, Bevenden and Bradbury, you were going to cubicle number one because we were top of the list. They went down like that alphabetically through the list, and until the cubicles were full. There were 10 cubicles and 3 in each cubicle. And one bunk was empty, so we used to put our gear on there. And
so how did you get on with the lads?
Pretty well, except I didn't get on very well with Arnold.
Why not?
Well, he was a bit of a bloke who was always trying to dodge the column a bit, I found. He was much older than me. And he knew everything that was going, really. And, in fact, we came to blows once.
Tell us about that, if Do you remember it now?
Well, we started fighting, and...
What about?
Well, about who was going to clean... He said it was his turn. He said it was my turn to clean the cubicle. I said, no, it isn't, it's your turn. And that's how it developed. And we started fighting over this. And some other lads rushed in, pulled us apart. And that was it, really. Just carried on.
Something and nothing. Did he bear a grudge? Did you bear a grudge?
Not really, no. No.
And what about the others? Do you have any special friends? Did you make good friends with anyone?
Dougie Woolston, the oldest one who got promoted to be... I say promoted, to be class leader, as it was called. He got put in this position by the instructor because he knew the farmer who'd served my dad. We got on very well, and he looked after me pretty well indeed. In fact, the first couple of days we were there, we're sitting, we're having our tea, and I said, this tea tastes funny. And there was a roar of laughter went round the roar of laughter around the table. I thought, what are they laughing at, you know? I said, the tea tastes weird. So Dougie Woolston took me aside, as was his duty as class leader, and explained to me what bromide was for. And he said... It's to keep you quiet. He said, so you won't get too horny, he said. So, I said, oh, I didn't realise all this, you see. And a bit later on, one of my classmates, I won't say whether it was Arnold or Bevenden, he was quite all right when we first joined, but after a few days, he got very, very moody. We weren't allowed out of the camp for the first week, you see. And after about 4 days, I said, I don't know what's come over Bevenden. I said, he's very, very moody. And they can't seem to get any sense out of him. I said, I know he's trouble, he said. I said, what's that? He can't get at women, he said. So, oh. So he said, we'll have to keep an eye on him. Anyway, after the first week, when Bevenden got his first shore leave, so-called, Beverly was all right. But there we are.
Now, how did you get on with the instructors? Talk to me. I mean, what were they like? Were they any good?
Well, our particular one was very good.
Now, tell me about it. What was he like? What was good about him?
Well, he was very, very fair. If anybody, any individual, made a mistake in the class... He wouldn't, like some of the other instructors, call the bloke out in front and tear him off a strip, something horrible, you know. He would bollock the whole class. They'd say, you lot of poor as pee. And he'd leave it to the class to take retributive action at a later date.
Which they would.
Which they would, yes. I remember very well, I caught it once.
What happened?
Well, what happened was we were doing our drill and we were doing the war wound manoeuvre, or trying to learn it, of on the left, by the left, left form. And this meant that the leading man in the front rank, we were all marching along in ranks, and the leading man, depending on whether it was left form or right form, would have to march 2 paces forward, turn to the left or turn to the right, march another 2 paces forward, and then start marking time while the rest swung round on him. And then everybody would start marking time. So really it was a shift of the whole class in that formation in round 90 degrees. Well, as I was leading man when he said left form, I turned to the right. And the class went into a hell of a mess, obviously. And our instructor got really annoyed with us. You know, he went in, you're as poor as piddle, you lot. If you perform like this on your last parade, you'd all be backclassed. Which we knew was an empty threat because our accommodation will be required for the next class, you see. But anyway, we didn't say, we're too tactful to say that, but anyway, I caught him in the neck when we returned to our billets. That was, you know, that sort of thing. But
what did they do to you?
Oh, hit me with pillows.
Nothing too serious.
Oh, nothing too serious, you know.
Now, what about the other instructors, or did you just have him? I mean, what were the others as reasonable?
Well, we had Chiefy Braithwaite, who was in charge of gas mask drill. We had, oh, deck hockey used to play. We used to play deck hockey. We had a warrant officer in charge of the course, generally, who used to leave most of the things to the instructor. But he always wanted to turn out when we played deck hockey. And he said to us once, there's no such thing as can't raise two teams in for deck hockey. When I say deck hockey...
Can you explain it? Because they won't know.
What did he say?
What was it?
Well, just playing hockey, but, you know, with, you know, just, well, hockey really. I should say hockey, not deck hockey, because deck hockey came later when I was in the Navy properly. But you play hockey, he said. But there's no such thing as you can't race two teams. Unless you're very, very ill, you'll all turn out and be part of the team. So we used to go, he used to love refereeing, I should say. And he used to call offside on me more times than I care to remember. And his health wasn't very good. He'd been sent to the camp because his health had broken down after convoy duty. But he, as I remember, was extremely patriotic. He got promoted from the lower deck to be a warrant officer. And he was very, very keen that we should all become good members of the Royal Navy.
Now, what about how much ball was there in actually sort of preparing your uniform for kit inspection, that kind of thing? Did you have kit inspections?
Yes.
And how far would you have to go with your shoes and the rest of it?
Oh, shoes, boots. Boots had to be polished, polished very much. One character, after we started to get leave, we used to get leave alternate nights.
I'll come back to that. Yeah. To the kit inspection. Yes. Yeah.
And... before going on leave, you'd get a kit inspection to see if you were fit to go on shore. And I remember one chap had pressed his bell-bottom trousers with an immaculate crease right down the front. Of course, that was absolutely not on. So he wasn't allowed to go ashore until the crease had disappeared. And we used to get inspected... by the duty officer before going on shore.
Now, how strict were the inspectors? What were they looking for?
Well, dirty boots, whether your collar was all right, because one of the favourite tricks of new recruits was to wash their brand new blue collars in detergent until they looked like Mediterranean blue, so you looked as though you'd been in the Navy a long time. But I remember one character, he miserably failed and his collar turned out in patches. Well, he went on shore parade and got sent back because his collar wasn't up to the mark.
Now, it doesn't sound like there was too much bull. I mean,
well,
you just have to have polished shoes. That's very different from a parade.
Oh yes, we did. There was not too much bull because I think they, for the same thing, they recognised that we were intended to be technical ratings.
Now, what did you do in the evenings? I mean, when you were, I mean, what about the, was there a canteen? What
yes.
Did that offer?
Well, tables. They used to plenty of beer. We used to get chocolate. Sometimes free chocolate. Sent in by well wishers, believe it or not.
The games or something?
Yes, there were plenty of games, drafts, hackers, the naval version of dominoes, all this sort of thing. There was no television, of course, in those days. We used to sit around the tables and we used to sing songs and.
Piano?
Piano, yes.
And what about when you went out? Where would you go to Warrington, or would you go to Liverpool, or what would you do?
I never got any further than Warrington.
What would you do in a night out in Warrington?
Well, I used to go mainly with Dougie Walston, and he was looking after me. He was really a father to me, and we used to go to the pub.
And what were the pubs like? I mean, they're pretty rough now. What were they like in Warrington? I mean,
oh, quite
what
good.
What were they like then? What was the night out?
Not bad. We used to go in there and meet some civilians, munition workers, all this sort of thing, and play darts all the evening, this sort of thing. And
you've got a good friendly reception.
Oh, yeah, they were very good, yes. In fact, all the civilians in Lancashire, both then and later, when I went back there, were very good indeed.
And would you drink much?
Rather too much, really.
So how much is too much then?
Well, I think 6 or 7 pints a night.
Quite a lot then.
Yes, it was, yes.
A bit more than social drinking then.
I say so, yes. I used to drink too much, really.
And how did you have to be careful coming back to camp?
No, as long as you could walk past the guard room without falling down, you're all right.
Was it just pubs you go to, or did you go to the cinema and other things? Or?
I never remember going to the cinema. I only remember going to pubs in Warrington.
Now, what about passing out? Well, anything else before we get to the passing out parade or anything happening?
Well, discipline was a bit strange there, really, because I couldn't get used to the classification of naval discipline.
Well, talk to me about that. What trouble did you have with naval discipline?
I personally had no trouble with it, but a lot of people did. A lot of people... there were quite a few desertions fairly early in the course. In fact, I remember one bloke who had deserted about 3 weeks before I arrived. And he was living rough in various places round about. And he'd broken out of the camp. It was all wired in, of course, but somehow he'd broken out. And was living in various towns nearby, until he got picked up by the naval patrol and returned to camp. And he'd been in there about 24 hours. He'd been in the Navy about 24 hours when this happened, when he returned. And he was brought up on divisions in front of the rest of the camp. And they read out a charge against him and said he was sentenced to so long. I think it was 10 days in cells. And I was very surprised, but they read out, "Previous conduct, very good." And I thought, this is strange, he's only been in the Navy long enough to get any conduct. But I understood later on that when you joined, your conduct was automatically rated as very good. And from there, you could only work downwards.
Were there other cases? You said...
Well, oh, yes, there were other cases. Yes, yes.
Do you know any of the others?
Well, none of our classes are at it. But... some of the other classes, with which we didn't have too much to do, say, oh, so-and-so's gone over the wire. And that's about the last you'd hear of it. And you wouldn't hear any more about so-and-so, actually.
Did you have any trouble? I mean, were you ever in trouble discipline-wise? Or?
No, I never had any trouble discipline, except getting roughed over by the rest of the class.
What about this passing out parade, then? What about that?
Well, we had to... the final drill parade was... when the Jimmy the One, the man in charge of the camp in the absence of the captain, inspected us for our final, make sure we knew something about which way we were marching and all this sort of thing. And fortunately, we did pretty well. Even if we'd have done badly, we'd have still, you know, got passed through anyway. But... we did the final, it was about an hour, and he came and looked over the class, and the instructor would give us our various orders, on the left, by the left, left form, and we'd do that all right, or march round, and at the double, this sort of thing. All the various drill manoeuvres.
Now when was this you'd finished?
About after 10 weeks.
So December?
Late November. But before that, the programme had been split by a week at Sealand, where we went to do our firing course.